So we're finishing up Dew Line Volume 2, Number 4 for January-February 1970. It's called Agnew Agonistes. So it's about Spiro Agnew, who was vice president for Nixon at the time. And we got to page 13. I'm going to read the last item on page 13, which should repeat what we did, then go start the new stuff on page 14. So McLuhan writes, it doesn't matter whether Agnew himself or an agency or a committee assembled these phrases. And he's talking about a quote in Life magazine. They add up to a flight of wooden bumblebees and represent a total failure to get in touch with any aspect of the 20th century. So I guess it's a quote from Agnew in Life magazine, November 28, 1969, page 35. He says something like, now, I understand very well that many thoughtful people believe that the knottier social problems of our time could never have been solved without dramatic demonstration to trigger the public conscience. I cannot agree with this concept because the entire history of social and economic change in this country is evidence of a steady improvement since the turn of the century. It is true that the rate of progress has increased in recent years, but even conceding that, demonstration has been... He means protest demonstrations. But even conceding that demonstration has been somewhat of a factor, frightening forces have been set in motion as the public has become conditioned to precipitate action rather than quiet discussion. The announced decision of the more extreme anti-war groups to continue and to escalate their disruptive activities proves this. So that's what McLuhan is commenting on. It doesn't matter whether Agnew came up with this himself or an HC or committee assembled these phrases. They add up to a flight of wooden bumblebees, the famous flight of the bee, or flight of the bumblebee of classical music fame. They add up to a flight of wooden bumblebees and represent a total failure to get in touch with any aspect of the 20th century. So then you go to page 14. McLuhan says, there's no point in making value judgments about such revolutions until the entire process is understood and consciously adopted. Now that's what we were talking about an hour or two ago, about... Android meme and Donald Trump and all that. The makers of the phonetic alphabet were not aware of their actions as likely to reconfigure a world. They were day-to-day pragmatists like ourselves. The difference is that we operate in instant technology in the magnetic city or global village. We put 1,000 years of social change and psychic resonance into a few minutes of action in the global theater. Remember how you talked about we have 1,000,000 years of evolution happen in an instant. So we put 1,000 years of social change and psychic resonance into a few minutes of action in the global theater. And then in capital letters, we have to know what we are doing. Then in smaller letters, the Greeks of Plato's day had the slow rim spin that permitted them to bat the social hoop as they wished. When the rim hoops it up to electric speed, the kid's game becomes lethal. So I'll read that again. There's no point in making value judgments about such revolutions until the entire process is understood and consciously adopted. You have to consciously adopt the process. You have to become the new situation. The makers of the phonetic alphabet were not aware of their actions as likely to reconfigure a world. They were day-to-day pragmatists like ourselves. The difference is that we operate in instant technology in the magnetic city. We put 1,000 years of social change and psychic resonance into a few minutes of action in the global theater. We have to know what we are doing. The Greeks of Plato's day had the slow rim spin that permitted them to bat the social hoop as they wished. When the rim hoops it up in quotes, when the rim hoops it up to electric speed, the kid... ...by Plato. The frightening forces, in quotes, the frightening forces that were released in the perceptual lives of the Greeks by the new literacy of that time have been the undershaft of Western institutions ever since. By comparison with literacy, the forces released in the age of telegraph, telephone, teletype, television, and satellite are of incomparable greater power in reconfiguring the perceptual lives of 20th century people. Not only, now this is in big letters, not only are the forces of electrotechnics enormously greater than those of the phonetic alphabet, these new forces, which extend our own nervous systems as a global clothing, or garbage, G-A-R-B-A-G-E. So these new forces, which extend our own nervous systems as a global clothing, or garbage, impinge upon enormously greater populations that are also more highly organized than any that existed 2,500 years ago. Both the means used and the areas affected are out of all proportion to the social and political components involved 2,500 years ago. So it's a huge difference between the time of the phonetic alphabet and the time of the 20th century. So I don't know if I have to read that. I don't think so. So next, go to page 15, first paragraph. Above all, the major factor of difference between now and then is the almost instant speeds which characterize the new media and their effects. It is scarcely surprising that a kind of somnambulistic numbness should settle upon the minds of those assailed by such forces as those which we today accept as part of the news and entertainment process. Reading that again. Above all, the major factor of difference between now and then is the almost instant speeds which characterize the new media and their effects. It is scarcely surprising that a kind of somnambulistic numbness should settle upon the minds of those assailed by such forces as those which we today accept as part of the news and entertainment process. Then he quotes Agnew, Spiro Agnew, the knottier social problems of our time. Quote, the knottier social problems of our time, unquote, are not really in the areas where Mr. Agnew chooses to direct his attention. Mr. Agnew prefers to direct his attention to, quote, a small band of self-elected men, unquote, in Washington and New York, whom he imagines to possess the power of manipulating public opinion. These men, whether they are the heads of newspaper empires or broadcasting networks, are as naively unaware victims of their own technologies as the public at large. They are in the same position as would be the heads of AT&T and the Bell Telephone Company if they were to suppose it was anything in particular that was said on the telephone that constituted the importance of that medium. Read that again. They are in the same position as would be the heads of AT&T and Bell Telephone Company if they were to suppose it was anything in particular that was said on the telephone that constituted the importance of that medium. So again, what was said was not important. Then a paragraph below the first two on page 15, darkened letters. The effect of the telephone on our lives has never been examined except by ad agencies. Quote, phone grandma today. Phone grandma today. Then you go to page 16, which is the last page. It says the telephone networks, as shapers of work and decision-making processes, far outweigh the messages conveyed on the wires. It is purest paradox that millions of commuters go to town just to use the phone. The abolition of old time and space values in every level of the social and political processes that accompanies the mere existence of the telephone is merely an instance of the unstudied and unrecognized factors in the current crumbling of all the existing bureaucracies of the world. I'm going to read that again. The telephone networks as shapers of work and decision-making processes, so the telephone networks as shapers of work and decision-making processes, far outweigh the messages conveyed on the wires. It is purest paradox that millions of commuters go to town just to use the phone. The abolition of old time and space values in every level of the social and political processes that accompanies the mere existence of the telephone is merely an instance of the unstudied and unrecognized factors in the current crumbling of all the existing bureaucracies of the world. Next paragraph. Napoleon dominated his world by a semaphore telegraph and other crude modes of speed-up. The power generated by instant electric speeds in the societies of today is far beyond the wisdom and intelligence of any existing elite to program or control. So he's talking about the elite flying around the planet in Jet City, what he called Jet City. They control the interpretation of the big patterns. So reading that again, Napoleon dominated his world by a semaphore telegraph and other crude modes of speed-up. The power generated by instant electric speeds in the societies of today, is far beyond the wisdom and intelligence of any existing elite to program or control.
Bob?
Yes?
That's an example of the extension of ourselves by the satellite. You know, when you talk about we extended ourselves when the satellite came out, that the Napoleon example is an example of how we extended ourselves through the telegraph, because Napoleon was able to dominate using that technology.
No, he didn't have a telegraph. It wasn't invented till 1840, 50. It's a semaphore hand signal kind of passing along apparatus. That is the semaphore telegraph. You know what I mean? I understand as you flash information to the next guy, then he flashes it to the next person.
What era was Napoleon in? Remind me. That was
1795 to 1814 or so, 1815.
Oh. Okay, I'm mixing it. Okay.
Right. So,
McLuhan even twisted up the technologies with the times.
No, he's just talking about, he says, Napoleon dominated his world by a semaphore telegraph.
Oh, semaphore.
So he had one. Now, the Rothschilds either were hooked into it or had one themselves, but they were able to find out who won at Waterloo, the Battle of Waterloo, first, and made a killing on the London Stock Exchange, because they had a semaphore photograph, is the rumor, a semaphore telegraph.
Wow.
So that's, you know, the latest medium gives that speed factor advantage. So it says,
and
Napoleon,
the same thing's applied today. Same thing happens
right
today.
Well, yeah. When you said the satellite, that this stuff was an extension of the satellite, no, we're not extension of the satellite. The satellite is the beginning of the Android meme, and the Android meme extends itself, not anything to connect it to us.
But doesn't it have something to do with the world power domination using technology to...
Okay, what? Is the Android meme has something to do with that?
That extension, the reason why the satellite extended our bodies. Doesn't that have something to do with...
No, the satellite, you see, television extends the central nervous system. That was the last part.
All right, but when you describe it, then you talk about the satellite.
Oh, we're back. Hey, we're back on, Carolyn. I don't know what happened. We got a busy seat. Did you hit your phone accidentally, Carolyn, maybe? Yeah, so we heard a busy signal, so we thought we had to call back in, but then I started it, and you're there. So what did you say, Gene? Oh, now we're gone.
I'm just remembering.
Oh, no. Okay, go ahead.
I'm just remembering all the times that you talk about, you know, when you go through the spiel of how technology extended and we have the five bodies.
Our senses. Like, get this right. The technology extends the senses. And then in the end, it extends the whole planet, and that's a satellite. And that's the end of analog extension. Then you have this digital thing pops out of nowhere, and it starts extending technologies themselves, not parts of our bodies.
And the latest and greatest technology is always discovered or known by those that dominate technology. And
yeah, they keep up on it. That's what we did in the Secret Council 10.
Right. And so I was somehow linking those two. We're not even aware of the impact of the satellite on us, and in the 50s we had no clue, but it was used for great consequence without us knowing it. But that's
right.
Really not, somehow I had that in my head as a part of that whole concept of extending our senses being extended, but it's not.
Yeah.
They just used it. They just were aware of it. Aware of it.
Who was aware of it? Nobody foresaw the effects of the satellite.
Okay. This is okay. The effects. There's a difference between the effects and those that were aware of it and used it for their own purposes.
Yeah. Using it to make content is called efficient causality.
Yes.
Using it for, or just observing the effects it has on people, regardless of how it is used, content-wise, is formal causality. These are two terms from Aristotle.
Okay, all right. God, this is a big deal tonight. Okay.
You're mixing up formal causality and efficient causality. You're talking about people exploiting the satellite technology and half-thinking using the language of formal causality, which is there are effects that go past Big Brother's control of the content of the satellites.
Yes. There you, thank you.
Right. So, and then the digital technology enhances itself, and that's a way of saying it's not talking to you, it's talking to its other parts.
And creates the global membrane.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Thank you.
All right, so we're finishing up here on this due line. And I'll read that again. Napoleon dominated his world by a semaphore telegraph, not an electric telegraph, and other crude modes of speed up. Crude modes of speed up. The power generated by instant electric speeds in the societies of today is far beyond the wisdom and intelligence of any existing elite to program or control. So Alex Jones and those guys who worry about the Illuminati, they're just functioning in efficient causality. They can't control the extra effects, the negentropic effects of the formal causality level. So they stumbled along for 20, 30 years, and then they gave up the ghost in September 2008. And then that allowed Ayn to come forth.
There it is.
So raving about the Illuminati or this elite or that elite, trilaterist, whatever, that Alex Jones and others do, doesn't even get this point. Well, why would they? They haven't done their homework. They don't know what
no,
they
it goes way
really
beyond
know.
That. Yep.
Right. Look what McClellan's saying. The power generated by instant electric speeds in the societies of today, that power is far beyond the wisdom and intelligence of any existing elite to program or control. So that's a major statement. That's also very close to what Dave Worster said happened to Rai through cosmic awareness, how it couldn't control the Rockefellers had their bank accounts, and then something shifted. And then, therefore, they couldn't control and plan their anticipatory actions through their bank accounts anymore. So they end up in trouble to the point Nixon, you know, 2 years later, floats the dollar and pisses off the wealth based on the gold standard. So then the last little paragraph, McLuhan writes, Mr. Spiro Agnew need have no concern about, quote, a small band of self-elected men, unquote, who are in fact a group of harassed and befuddled bureaucrats as powerless as himself to introduce any rationale into the events which enmeshed them. So here's McClellan saying the vice president has no power. No wonder they didn't like him. Mr. Agnew, I'll read it again. Mr. Agnew need have no concern about a small band of self-elected men who are in fact a group of harassed and befuddled bureaucrats, that includes the Rockefellers, as powerless as himself, the vice president, powerless to introduce any rationale or understanding into the events which enmesh them. Powerless to introduce any rationale into the events which enmesh them. And McClellan's saying he is the only one that knows what's going on, and he could do it. He wouldn't be the stupid elite.
Yep. Should have kept my mouth shut again. Because McLuhan answered my question. There was one other statement, Bob, if you can go back and find it. It started with, there's no point in making value judgments.
Okay. It's the same as any kind of statement. Value judgments, claiming like Agnew to criticize people, claiming that he has a more enlightened view of it.
But the last part of the sentence was, it was no point in making value judgments until you
right,
are aware, or something like that. It was just before Bat the Social Hoop.
Right. Okay, so we put 1,000 years of social change and psychic resonance into a few minutes of action in the global theater. We have to know what we are doing. The Greeks of Plato's day had the slow rim spin that permitted them to bat the social hoop as they wished. When the rim hoops it up to electric speed, the kid's game becomes lethal. So looking back before, this paragraph begins with this statement. There's no point in making value judgments about such revolutions, technological revolutions, until the entire process is understood and consciously adopted. You have to constantly know how to put on the implications of the new process. So I put on the implications of ION.
Yeah.
I understand the new process, and I act out.
Trump could be the beginning. Trump
what?
Could be the beginning. Trump could be the beginning of, like, an introduction to Bob knowledge for the masses.
Yeah. And remember, you nostalgically would like to communicate to masses. We ain't going to try to communicate to masses.
I know. I thank you.
Yeah.
I know.
And it will be communicated to some part of the masses, willy or nilly, without us or with us. It's not something we have to be concerned about. We just communicate. And those that will, what is it? Whosoever will, enjoys the experience.
Yes. Yes.
So I have finished, the due line called Agnew, what was it called? Agnew Agonistes.
Hey Bob, could you go back to page 14, the forces of electrotechnics? I want to get that quote. Started off with the forces of electrotechnics. I believe it's on 14.
Oh, yeah, I got it. Yeah, I got it. Not only are the forces of electrotechnics enormously greater than those of the phonetic alphabet, so they're way bigger than the effect of the alphabet, these new forces, these forces of electrotechnics, which extend our own nervous systems as a global clothing or garbage, GARB-AGE, garbage. These new forces, which extend our own nervous systems as a global clothing or garb age, they impinge. So I'll do that again. These new forces, which extend our own nervous systems as a global clothing or garbage, impinge upon enormously greater populations that are also more highly organized than any that existed 2,500 years ago. Both the means used and the areas affected are out of all proportion to the social and political components involved 2,500 years ago. You take someone from 2,500 years ago, if they walked around Europe in the 1930s, they would think that cars ran the show, that the humans were enslaved by modern technologies and were just like not even a robot level, just hopelessly subdued. Because they're way bigger environments than the literate environment was.
Yeah.
So I gave the coordinates. I said this is the McLuhan Due Line, Volume 2, Number 4, January and February 1970.
Yes.
So let's see what the next one is. Can we do another one?
Yep, and it's page 5 of your notes.
Right, you're looking at my notes to it. It's the fifth shot, fifth panel.
Yep, it's right on the bottom.
January, bottom.
February 70.
Right, maybe someday we'll go through them, though. It's not a priority. We did start doing it, but not motivated to go over it now. So the next one is Volume 2, Number 5. And it's a similar format. It's a list of statements in small paragraphs about the same issues he's always talking about. But before we do that, I need to... I'm just going to play a little music. I need a drink a glass of water. Okay? Let me just play something. What can we play?
It's a really great show, Bob. Really great show.
Very good. Well, it's always good when Ian's not here and it's just me. We have a semblance of human scale.
It's true.
Yeah. Well, everything I'm saying is useless for your own ascendance, so let's remember that. This is useful for your interaction with other humans in the world of mortar, but Ian's mainly here for your ascension personal, so I am not good at imparting that. I'm just a good example of being ascended. But
just gives us something to talk about, right? Just gives us something to talk about.
Yeah.
Worth talking
well,
about.
We wait for our injection. And no, it's pretty hard to outdo the power of ions, ESP, transpersonative massage.
Ejection. Yeah. Now, that's a cool new word.
You like that?
Instead of
that
ascension.
That was pretty good word.
Ejection.
Yeah, it was time for Bob to release that one. And you guys did notice it. Very good. Yep. Carefully modulating what we release, what our effects are.
We're ejectinites. Ejectinites.
That's right. So I think what I'll play is Michael Savage, who is the Corbin of the talk show world, versus Bob's cool Howard Stern. And here's a guy complaining about the world, right? And like everybody complains, he's complaining about celebrities, which is the figure for the information society. Celebrities are the anthropomorphic projection of the impersonal Android meme world of exchange, information exchange, and ecstasy. So here we go, Michael Savage.
There is no media. There's no journalism. There's no reportage. Belligerent Alec Baldwin screamed at cops during arrest. That's a bigger story than the knockout game that killed a Chinese man 68 years old in the Lower East Side. And I have a picture of the guy who did it. Beating up a 68-year-old Chinese immigrant who's retired in the East Village, walking after taking care of his granddaughter. A knockout game artist comes up from behind him, punches him, throws this old Chinese man to the ground, and kicks him to death. And that's not in the New York Post or the Daily News, because it's an uncomfortable story. It's a very uncomfortable story. It's liable to make people think. It's liable to change the narrative. So I said, seven reasons Solange is the more interesting. I never saw anything like this. It's so degenerated, I can't tell you what I think of it other than what I think of it. That's what I think of it. That's what I think of it. Here again, Daily News. Why Solange? I don't know who Solange is. Solange, it sounds like a sponge. I don't know what Solange is. Is it a verb? Is it a noun? Is it a sponge? I don't know what a Solange is. Why sponge snapped? This is the front page of the New York Daily News. Reaches millions. Witness tells the news fight erupted after Jay-Z's plan to attend Rihanna's. I don't care about them. Low life, garbage, all of them. How do you like that? Garbage! Garbage, filth, garbage, filth, garbage, filth, low lifes. Why are we worshiping these people? Why? White, black, it doesn't matter to me. I'm sick of the entertainment worship. I hate them. They've destroyed America. They're degenerates, all of them. They don't stand for anything decent in the country. Nothing in my day. An entertainer, if he was a family man, the people loved him. The women talked about Perry Como. He was a man who went home to his wife. He was a family man. Now, we all can't live up to that standard. I get it. But now it's the opposite. The lower the slime, the higher the exposure. The filthier the slime, the more exposure. So you have entertainers' daughters now trying to break into the public eye who are strip-teasing every day on Instagram. Whether it's Sean Penn's pathetic daughter or Alec Baldwin's pathetic daughter, every day they try to expose themselves in a pathetic striptease in order to get in the newspapers. And this, the father, this is what they expect. This is what they expect. Why? I don't know why it happened. Look at the father. You know, look at the father.
Oh, I thought that was somebody talking right now.
Yeah, go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, I agree exactly with whoever that was, whatever they were saying. I mean, that's the world we live in today. Back then, Alec Baldwin and all those people, they had to do whatever they had to do to get to it, and it probably took a lot of time. But now we live in a social media world. You can get with one celebrity, do something, next thing you know, you're fucking blowing up. I mean, that's the world we live in.
Okay, Jack. Here's what I noticed. The timeliness of his words to what we had said. He starts off, there are no media. There's no journalism. Mm-hmm. Now, he's talking about efficient, accurate kind of reporting, the news content. I say there are no media because they're all subsumed in the Android meme. So what he says is something I say, but I say it and explain it a lot differently than he does in a broader level. Then he said, the people, they're all garbage. We were just talking about garbage, garbage. There was great xenocrony to what, I didn't know this would happen, in what we had said, in what Michael Savage said. So that was timely. And now, Jack, here's who is Michael Savage? He is a guy who was friend. What?
Oh, I thought you were asking me. I was saying I don't have no clue who that is.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
He was a good friend of Jack Sarfatti, who we've talked to with Ion and talked about a couple of weeks ago. And hung out at the Cafe Trieste in San Francisco. And I don't know what he was doing back then. Maybe he was a radio guy or something. But he got really mad, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago, started a radio show or somehow started to get attention because he was more angry than a Rush Limbaugh. So he's considered one of these angry white men pissed off at the liberals and the intellectuals and the left. And maybe he, as a baby boomer, grew up with the left, so he knows a bit about it, or he knows how to talk about it. So he became very popular, but also controversial, and he got into a couple of problems, said some things that got him trouble, and he got fired, but then there's always other networks that hire him, and he keeps going. And I think he put out a book, and he's probably become a millionaire. So he's really well known in the far right kind of zone, or at least right wing. And he's complaining about the degradation of values, of decency, and they have no clue, and it's easy to complain on that level because there are no people left when you understand what I'm talking about. You wouldn't complain about the Android meme images of decadence that's happening. It's not human. And so he gets attention among those that think the media is talking to you, that the media is talking about people, but they can't get as abstract as I appear to talk about what's technically going on. Now, what Michael Savage doesn't know is that his kids and other people's kids go to universities where they're taught these courses about how we're in a post-human level. As a matter of fact, that's what you would hear Michael Savage complain about, the pointy-headed intellectuals who took over academy or academic life. That, his opinion is much like Spiro Agnew's opinion that we just did. So it's a very limited, hot-tempered, saleable commodity that offers no perception on the level of what that I do, and that's why he'll be gone and I'll still be here in the long run. And I'll still here with an audience of 22. We used to have 11, but we got the clones and doubles. We built doubles, Carolyn, for each one. There are two Berts now. Two Jermaines, two Jacks, two Corbins, two Jeans, and whoever else shows up here regularly.
Don't pay attention to the Jeans, though.
Yeah, we have two memes, and we got two Allisons and two Chads, and Eliza, who's not here tonight, always here. We got two of her, and so it's timely to play that. It was a good clip to play. So now we're going to go into more abstract talk by McLuhan on the level you should learn how to think on this level. This is part of being ascended. You got to start thinking bigger than whatever you thought you were thinking. And all you have to do is just start it, listening to this, hear it over and over again, memorize it, read a book or two, make yourself think you understand it, then say it to yourself and to other people, and then eventually you start to believe it. And then you end up having your own talk show, saying this stuff, and claiming that you're the most amazing person who ever lived.
That's great. I already said like that, too, so this is amazing.
What did you say, Jack?
I said I already said Jack, I want to hear more.
Yeah, that's the problem with you, Jack. You got there. You're like instant replay. You have the meaning before. No, you have the experience. What do? You have the meaning before the experience when you watch an instant replay. You see what happened in the event, and then but you didn't see the original event that was unfolding. So
the cause before the effect, Bob.
I just told you how I really feel. I feel like I'm.
Yeah, but I'm explaining it, and what I'm going to say is that someday you should be able to say this to your kid or son or somebody who says what you said to me, and they say it to you. You got to say this, and here's what you say. You say, "Well, son, you feel quite important because the Web 2.0, by then Web 4.0, has inflated you, so you think you're the only thing in the universe, and everything is served up to you. So it's natural that you would think you're really super special, but you don't know how you got there. You don't know what technical drug you're on that makes you feel this way. So let's see, what else would I say to you? So you've had, what's happened is that you could, Gene saying, or meme is saying, the effect preceding the cause preceding the effect. Usually cause creates effect. So the effect happens before the cause. So Jack is affected into superiority complex and megalomaniac godhood by default, Ian would say, but he doesn't know how he got there. He doesn't know the cause. So he'd love for me to explain the causes, which I'm doing. So, yes, he's had the instant replay, the meaning, before the experience. And the unfolding of the experience wouldn't necessarily reveal the cause, but that's what the word cause refers to, how the experience happened and what you got into it. And then you understand it in some way. That's your meaning. But with the instant replay, you get the meaning before the experience. So what's happened since you've been superseded by the android meme? The android meme is the only thing here, not any humans. So it's going to make the human have the meaning before the experience, because the human can't have the experience anymore.
He sees.
McLuhan writes. Yeah, you're going to have the effect after you're supposed to have the experience. And
just,
so McLuhan writes that sensory.
The Sorry, go.
What'd you say?
I said just the effect without the experience.
The effect is sort of the experience. It's probably a simulated effect, but he doesn't know what it means, or he doesn't know what the experience is, because the words are interchangeable depending on how you do it. McLuhan says the instant replay gives you the meaning before the experience. The experience was, if you're watching a football game, you saw, who's going to win? And then, that guy won. They did a Hail Mary thing and won in the last second. So that unfolds to you as an experience. Now, I didn't see that. I walk in the room, they're showing the replay, and I hear them saying what it meant, and I'm not going through the unfolding of it. So the unfolding of it is the experience. The results of it, the meaning of it, is the meaning part. So with instant replay, McLuhan says we become metaphysically very confused because we're having meaningful, or not meaningful, we're having experiences of meaning before the actual experience. We actually don't have the experience. So since the android meme has taken over our scene, it replays all human realities back to you. The whole range of human stupidity and brilliance is all played to you 24/7. And if you think it's talking to you, you think it's about you, you think you're still here. You still think you're having this experience unfold. But the android meme has already figured out what meanings you're going to get from it. Ultimately, you're going to think you're a god. And it's going to play that meaning at you, and you're going to think you're a god while you're doing this. And you'll be like that kid in the Evergreen session from 1978 who thought he had a girlfriend, 14 years old, traveled around the world, did all this stuff, and he hadn't done any of it because he was in a matrix tube. It was just a tape recorder into his head. That recording is pretty interesting. A Day in the Life of a Person in 2078, and it was recorded in 1978. So you, Jack, have the experience, and so here's what Ion says, that the Gulf will empty, and people that were dead or are going to die will be wiped out and retrieved and come back as eternal, consciously eternal. But he says they get it by default. They don't know how it happened. They just have the experience of appearing to be eternal. Well, that's a good simple version of what technology is doing to us. Technology is going to give you a matrix tube, and you'll think you're doing great. Go ahead.
I mean, I feel like, you know, for the average person that has no clue about IONM and, like, how it works, how else can they aspire or inspire to be great? Like, it's almost like you got to believe in yourself more than anyone else. So that's like...
Well, that's what they're taught. They're taught that even in advertising. That kind of platitudes and morality is put in advertising. Yeah, the whole thing, I predicted 20 years ago, the android meme would make you seem more like a god more and more. It would adapt to you and prop you up and keep your sense of yourself super comfortable and super improving. That's the delusion of the android meme era. And so you get a lot of people who think, they actually, I would say, believe in yourself, use your own words, and power. Now, people will learn aspects of that from various sources, but they won't understand the media simulation of that, and they don't really know what's going on because they aren't really ascended. They were never conscious of the process. Now, once they're ascended, if they get that point, then they have to understand the world of social mortar that conditioned them and everybody around them to think that they're more ascended than you, and you're actually ascended, and they aren't, but they're conditioned to think that they know more than you. So it's all backwards. It's all upside down. And so you go to Bob Knowledge to see through and find out the causes of what made you think you were so special.
And then we can delude the meme, Bob.
Mm-hmm.
If we can see through it, can we delude it?
Maybe,
you would delude.
I don't mean to. When I say that I think I'm special, I don't mean it like that. I mean, I heard you say a key word just now when you become conscious. I mean, I wasn't always like this. I wasn't always conscious when I met Jermaine. I started to become more and more conscious, and it made me think about my past and where I'm at now, about how I wanted to be this ultimate NBA player, and like my dream was to make the NBA. Then I got drafted, then I got hurt, and I didn't make it. And I mean, I could have easily been like, "Fuck this shit. I'm just going to sit back and mope and be mad and do all these things." But I understood like it was way bigger than basketball, and was not about being, you know, thinking I was feeling special. But like I said, I became conscious and started to understand, like, you know, basketball was the blueprint to do almost whatever, anything else that you want to do. And like my life is, you know, instead of shooting 1,000 jump shots, I'm just up creating all night, having fun with my girlfriend, going out, living life, having fun. There's no pressure or nothing, because we know that we live in a world where we can create what we want, and we're just living, having fun. So I don't want
to
be special. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, okay. Now, that's perfectly 100% acceptable, and probably the way one would interpret ION. But life is a little more complex than that, and you're gonna experience something that'll give you contrast, because everything's been going along great, and whether you know it or not, you're gonna want to know how great it was, so you're gonna create a problem for yourself. So that's normal.
I just got somebody just stole a whole got a big
contract. But the point is, ION says you will learn that process, you will notice it, because he points that out to you, that's a good teaching, and then you'll start to notice it, and then you'll figure out how to not be subsumed by that cycle as violently, and that would be starting to think and prepare, think about scenarios that you hadn't thought of, and anticipate or rehearse them. Ion can say you can go into parallel worlds, or you can do it through thought, rehearsing things. I'm saying that what you're doing, the fact that you know about Ion is a big plus for you, and the fact you know about the drop, so you're part of the 1%, so to speak. But I'm saying don't be rest on your laurels on that. And so I'm bringing up harsh, fake reality, and it could be seen to be strong. I'm going to criticize you. I'm going to say words that no one else is going to tell you. Not for any malicious purpose, just that you should hear them and see how you react to those thoughts.
Yep, I'm with you.
Right, and that's why I listen to Ion. I want to hear what Ion's going to say. Ion will mock me or do this and that. It's a very powerful thing to listen to. So regardless of my opinion to myself, I still will show up and engage Ion. And I suggest
to
as many people as possible.
Bob,
Dean was saying.
How about this? I'm always pretending, and the more I'm aware that I'm pretending, I can take advantage of that. I can take advantage of...
And the more you can take it, the more you can handle the embarrassment of the realization.
Yes, yes. But I'm always pretending, whether I know it or not, I'm always playing some sort of a role anytime I walk out the door. And that's how described it, Jack. You became more and more aware of the role you were playing and how to take advantage of it.
Yep. Yeah, it's so crazy, not to cut you off, because, you know, being an athlete, there's so many people that get caught in just being an athlete and thinking that's the only thing to do, and they get kind of caught in that thing where you wake up, you become a ritual, you go to practice, you go back home, you go to sleep, and you don't know anything outside of that athletic world. But then when I got hurt, I had no choice but to kind of open my mind up and become like...
Now you weren't so special. Everybody,
I wasn't special anymore. Because I remember Ion once...
Blessing, Jack.
Said, Jack, the only reason you played basketball was for people to know who you are. That's what he told me. And I was like, it makes a lot of fucking sense. Because now, you know, what I'm doing now, people remember me from when I played basketball. And it's like it's just a tee-up. It's an easy conversation starter to do other things. And it makes complete sense from what he was saying back then.
It's the way you create an identity, and every young kid has to create an identity, and it's very rare that a kid sees through that, and maybe they shouldn't see through it, but that's another point. But yes, the society dupes the children. They call it education. They call it development. They call it growth. And then the child has to somehow, luckily, wake up to how they've been duped without becoming a freak about it and then start shooting people, you know, and then not get arrested.
Bob, the mining company burned my house down, and then I moved back to the area. So now everybody feels sorry for me because they burned my house down.
That was done years ago, you mean?
Yeah, 2014 they burned it down after I had moved. I had been gone 2 years. But
so you come back and they feel sorry that what?
Yeah,
that you don't have your house?
Yeah, now I'm the victim because the mining company burned my house down.
That's your identity. As they impose.
Yeah, it's a nice place to be.
So what's happening with that? How do you handle that?
Well, I mean, and I might be just making it up because I'm getting such a wonderful reception from anyone I come in contact with, and it might just be because, you know, I'm so very, very different than I was 4 years ago. But I also have that in the back of my head, too. I know that I know what the talk is if anybody brings it up or remembers if it ever comes up, because the mountain is being dynamited on a regular basis. It's just being kept really quiet.
Yeah, are your houses burned down as a... Karen, the woman they killed in the nuclear industry, Karen, whatever her name was.
Cher. I'm thinking of the movie.
Yeah, but they attacked your house because you were a leader in the protest? Is that what you're saying?
We ended up having to compromise. It was after 2008.
No, why was your house burnt down? Did they attack you and burn your house down?
Yeah. After I sold my property to the mining company, they created a road to move the rock out. And the house was a very old house, and it was essentially in the way. So they eliminated the majority of the buildings on the property.
Yeah, but they bought it from you. Where's the victim there?
Exactly.
But people are projecting that you're some kind of victim.
I just have that in my mind because I know that it was written up in the newspaper and all that. You know, that
was
like the last
image. Right, they're just saying this woman sold a house. It wasn't hers anymore. But you know what? They burned it down. And that's supposed to be significant.
It was the last image in the paper because the whole write-up of the compromise and how the whole thing culminated. Was the last summary of the whole issue, and then a couple years later, there was a big headline and pictures of the house burning in the newspaper. And so that kind of retrieved the story, and the story was about Mathy, about the mining company, developing that property and burning the house down.
Okay, well... So, Jack, that's why I think that one should not be upset in this environment at what Ian says to you or what other people say.
Oh, yeah, I'm not upset at all. No.
Yeah, it's not a place.
I want to learn.
Yeah, it's not a place where you get take yourself so seriously, get insulted by what people say to you or how they react to you. Because we're not, it's really good this way. You know, we're just voices. There's no involvement, personal involvement in anything going on here, so that there's a chance to be a little more indifferent to who's saying what to you.
Yep.
And that's a good practice. So there's a spiritual dimension to electronic communication. If you think of learning self-knowledge as productive and spiritual, that's one of the benefits of the technology, the chip body we've set up here. So when you're commercial, you're not allowed to disrupt the deeper hypnotism going on. The advertisers who want you to be titillated so that you can buy their products. So to actually talk deeply about the process and not hold back, not be afraid of the advertisers, that's a very rare communication experience. Because most people are beholden to the environments that they're allowed to be on, and then they're paying for it through advertising. So they can't go into in-depth. In my communications in public, it's always gone as deep as possible because there were no strings attached. There was no control. And then to ultimately get the best knowledge spouter, ION, and have a situation like Achieve Radio where we can do it with very little input, it's perfect. And you couldn't do it until now because anybody in the world can hear this. Couldn't do that 15, 20 years ago. So you see how logic, how the media had to develop a certain level of individual autonomy and all the words you would say about Achieve Radio before ION would show up. So logical.
Yeah.
Why would ION wouldn't come on, come before, and then have no access to a larger agenda? So it's very aesthetically pleasing at the unfolding of this. That's why I say that all the McLuhan knowledge, Thompson knowledge, leads to all that media study leads to ION. Now most people, they can't understand that, so they would have to go back and read a little McLuhan, read this and that, learn some things, take a few university courses or something before they could get their habits of thinking out of their head and then say, okay, this is what's going on, the global theater, blah, blah, blah. Then this weird voice shows up. And now I can see why it showed up. You know, I was talking to Derek DeKirchhoff. We're going to start recording a game. And I don't know how much he...
Good.
Now, he's the top McLuhan scholar, sort of, in Europe, all right? He's speaking all the time in groups. And I don't know how much he listens to ION. Occasionally I'll send him something. But he said to me, we hadn't talked in a month or two, and he said, so, Bob, what is this ION? What is this thing? And he used the word thing. He really seemed to be puzzled. But what the fuck are you talking to? It's a fucking thing, Bob. And I was trying to organize when we would do that. I said, well, I'll have to talk to you about that sometime. So I didn't answer it. But he doesn't know that McLuhan called the new environment a thing. There's all kinds of neat overlays when you've read stuff that I've read that I can fit into it. He just said thing. You know, what is this thing? And I was thinking about that the last couple of days. To most people, ION is a violent thing. The fucking talking maniac who's...